Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Q3 results call. As usual, please take note of our disclaimer. I will now hand you over to Olaf to present our Q3 results.
Yeah, thank you, Sabrina, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the results call for the third quarter of 2017-18. Q3 marks a quarter with significant progress. In our last call, we shared with you our view on Russia and the challenges, but also the opportunities we identified. We have set a very high priority on this. Today, we can give you an update on our performance in Russia, and yes, it shows that clear progress has been made. This is also true for the transformation of our business in Germany, both Metro and Real. For Metro Germany, we delivered another quarter of positive like-for-like growth when adjusting for the Easter shift. This increase was mirrored by a record 11 point year-on-year increase of the employee engagement index, which we not only consider an important metric to assess the satisfaction of our workforce, but also as a pre-indicator for sustainable sales growth. We also continued with our remodelings and completed the store in Düsseldorf, which is part of our pilot region, Rhineland. After quite a number of disappointing quarters in Russia, Q3 marked a noticeable change. The team made significant progress on the plan by rolling out our volume-based pricing system, Buy More, Pay Less, but also picking up traction in gaining customers for Fasol, our trader franchise system. Together with other supporting factors, like a very successful Metro Expo and some support from the World Cup, we saw a measurable change in both sales and margin trend. Volumes are growing again, and this indicates we are regaining relevance and competitiveness. Notwithstanding this encouraging progress, there's much more to be done to ensure a successful transformation towards full focus on B2B. Lastly, Real continued not just with the remodelings to increase focus on food and create a market atmosphere in the stores, but most importantly, proved that our tariff solution is working by hiring already more than 1,250 employees under the new tariff regime. This is a breakthrough as we are now finally achieving competitive labor costs. This has been a major priority over the last years, and we finally have found a very effective solution. Together with a revitalization of the business model through the food lover approach and the vibrant marketplace, Real is well positioned for future value creation. However, the quarter itself operationally was impacted by the Easter shift and the ramp-up of our logistics center in Marl. From a financial perspective, this translated into reported sales at constant currency of -0.9%, which to a very large extent can be attributed to the Easter shift. Like-for-like sales came in at -0.5%. This quarter, we once again demonstrated double-digit growth from delivery and online at Real. Reported EBITDA margin, including real estate, decreased by 18 basis points, primarily driven by the step-up in personnel costs at Real, as well as one-time startup cost of a warehouse platform in Germany incurred in others. Lastly, free cash flow increased by 62 million euro in Q3 due to improvement in net working capital and lower CapEx. While a lot of the attention has recently been on Russia and Real, as well as quite a bit on the progress in Germany, let's not forget that ultimately the very solid development in the remaining regions carry the like-for-like growth and profitability. Stepping into the fourth quarter, I'm therefore pleased to say that we see traction in all regions. To give you a bit more color, let me now hand over to Christian for the financials.
Thank you, Olaf, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with the drivers of sales development in Q3. Overall, we generated -0.5% of like-for-like, with +1% growth at Metro Wholesale and a reduction of 6.6% at Real. The small decrease against the prior year was driven by a negative effect from the Easter shift, which affected both businesses, although Wholesale to a lesser extent than Real. The reported growth in euro terms came in at -3.7% due to currency headwinds in Russia and Turkey. Q3 was also another quarter with very positive trends for both sales lines in delivery and online. At Metro Wholesale, delivery continued its strong momentum and currently represents 19% of total sales. Pro à Pro has been consolidated in the middle of Q2 last year Hence, this quarter, FSD sales are fully annualized. Equally strong, the online business at Real, calculated in gross merchandise value, grew by 58%. From a reporting perspective, this translated into about 30% growth to a 2% sales share. EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions, stood at €302 million in Q3, down by €77 million versus the prior year. This includes a negative currency impact of €18 million. The negative effect from the cancellation of the temporary tariff agreement and one-time startup losses in the segment Others were the main drivers for this development. At Metro Wholesale, on the other hand, EBITDA at constant currency has increased by €6 million. The overall positive development has been driven by Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and Asia. Over the nine-month period, EBITDA, excluding real estate gains and at constant currency, declined by minus 1.6%. This number is in line with our full-year guidance on EBITDA of slightly above prior year, as Q4 will benefit strongly from the PY special items related to the demerger. Now, let's move on to the regional view. Let me start with Metro Wholesale Germany. Adjusted for the Easter shift, like-for-like sales have grown by 1.5%. Once again, basket and frequency of HoReCa customers have increased, confirming the slow but steady progress at Metro Germany. Similarly, EBITDA margin in Germany was largely stable. In Metro Wholesale Western Europe, like-for-like growth adjusted for the Easter shift came in at 1.1%. Compared to Q3 last year, reported sales did no longer benefit from the first-time consolidation of the ProaPro acquisition, which has meanwhile fully annualized. At the same time, the EBITDA margin improved by 50 basis points, driven again by the assortment re-engineering in France, as well as cost savings in Spain. Moving on to Metro Wholesale Russia, while like-for-like is still negative, we have recognized a significant improvement from roughly minus 9% in the first half of the year to minus 3.2% in Q3. This improvement is partly due to a very good performance at this year's Metro Expo and, to a smaller extent, due to the World Cup in Russia. We also see first positive trends from BNPL in line with our expectations. We've also seen that after being the most negative of all customer groups, Trader has shown the biggest improvement in Q3. Last but not least, Q3 was the first quarter in 2017-18 where the Russian business recorded volume growth. So all in all, and this being very early days, we are confident that our action plan includes the right measures to tackle the big opportunity in the Russian market for independent trader and HoReCa. Similarly, EBITDA at constant currency came in above prior year, although this includes a one-time gain of about €10 million. This gain is related to the settlement with Ceconomy regarding their discontinuation of the shop-in-shop operations in our stores. Adjusted for this gain, the EBITDA margin decreased year-on-year by about 1 percentage point, driven mostly by gross margin decline from price investments without the full volume response that we expect from BNPL once it is fully in swing. The significant improvement versus Q2 can be attributed to cost savings, particularly in personal expenses, as well as lower degearing from a much less negative like-for-like development. Moving further to Metro Wholesale Eastern Europe. The region once again delivered a quarter of strong like-for-like growth at 6.2%. The development is primarily driven by the continued strong growth in the trader business in Romania and the Ukraine, as well as HoReCa growth in Turkey. Due to negative currency effects, especially in Turkey, total revenue increased by only 0.9% overall, understating the strong operational development. In local currency, total sales grew by almost 6%. The EBITDA margin remained largely flat year-on-year at 5%, and the salary indexation in the Czech Republic and Slovakia in Q2 was already largely offset by operational improvements in Poland and other countries. In the Asia region, the majority of countries have delivered positive like-for-like growth. Reported sales growth in local currency was positive for all countries. As a result of continuing cost consciousness in India and China, the EBITDA margin has increased by 50 basis points. Moving on to Real, which excluding the Easter effect showed minus 2.7% in like-for-like sales this quarter. The negative development is a result of continued competitiveness in the German market, very hot weather, and temporarily limited availability of goods. EBITDA came down to minus 7 million euros in this quarter, which is mostly a reflection of negative effects from the cancellation of the temporary tariff agreement. In others, the EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions, came down to minus 36 million euros as a result of roughly 15 million euros startup costs for the new warehouse facility in Germany and roughly 5 million euros expenses incurred in relation to the replacement of a member of the management board. Moving further down the P&L, EBIT came in lower than in the previous year, in line with the development of the EBITDA. The net financial result improved year on year due to an FX-related negative effect in Q3 last year and ongoing tightening of the control on other financial results. The tax rate for 9M is in line with H1 and below that of last year as a result of year-on-year improvement stemming from demerger and restructuring costs in the previous year. EPS at 16 euro cents in Q3 17-18 came in slightly below last year, although above consensus of 11 euro cents. Also, on a nine-month basis, EPS is in line with previous year, despite the shift in gains from real estate transactions and the FX impact. We now move to the free cash flow, which is increased by 62 million euros compared to last year. There, net working capital improved markedly year on year, driven mostly by improved inventory levels at Real and also by Russia, which contributed positively since the prior year was negatively impacted by the trade law transition. CapEx, excluding M&A and finance lease extensions in Q3, was almost 50 million lower than last year. On the wholesale level, this was primarily driven by a lower number of new store openings, and at Real last year, we have used the purchase option to buy a store. All in all, our simplified operational free cash flow came in at 242 million euros in the quarter compared to 180 million euro last year. From the full cash flow perspective, the picture looks broadly similar. The operating cash flow came in at 0.3 billion euros versus 0.4 billion euros last year, in line with the EBITDA development, whereby a lower other operating cash flow, which includes other assets and liabilities, translation effects, and non-income taxes, was partly compensated by the net working capital development. The investing cash flow came down from negative 0.2 billion to negative 0.1 billion euros, driven by cash in from asset disposals, and hence is broadly on PY level. The financing cash flow decreased slightly from minus 0.4 billion to minus 0.5 billion euros. Finally, net debt stood at 3.9 billion euros at the end of June, which is slightly higher than 1 year ago and is driven by the utilization of provisions in the current nine-month period and only a limited quantum of real estate transactions in the last 12 months. That was a short summary of our key financials. I'll now hand over to Olaf for some further comments on the strategic context.
Yeah, thank you, Christian. And let me start this part of the presentation with Russia. As already outlined, the sales and earnings trend has improved noticeably. Our operating partner for Russia has worked intensively with the whole management team to stabilize and revitalize our performance. For Metro, Russia remains a key market, and we clearly see the enormous opportunity to tailor our business model much more to the needs of both strategic target groups, independent traders and HoReCa. A comprehensive action plan has been developed. I will provide some more insights in a minute. Before we go there, it's worth mentioning that the organization is fully energized and committed. The engagement index for Metro Russia remained on last year's level in this very transformational environment. Despite the recent setbacks, the morale within Metro Russia is intact. This is a key precondition for future success and certainly a major reason for the progress made over the last couple of weeks. Therefore, a big thank you to the whole Metro Russian team. From our point of view, Q3 has been the turning point. Like-for-like and margin development came in significantly better than in the first half year. Now let me give you a more detailed update on how we got to this improvement. Our action plan is centered on a much stronger focus on B2B. Therefore, we are implementing a number of initiatives which have a proven track record in other parts of our portfolio. I would highlight three areas. The first one focuses on the assortment and our relevance for SMEs in the HoReCa and trader sector. The Buy More, Pay Less concept, or BMPL, has been fully rolled out as of end of June. Since the beginning of the rollout, the Buy More, Pay Less assortment is up 2.1% in sales and more than 5% in volumes of quantities sold. At the moment, the assortment is representing almost half of the wholesale sales. We will continue to refine the assortment and the pricing steps, but most significantly, we'll ramp up communication to increase awareness and enhance frequency in the store. In a market where promo share is still elevated, communication and price positioning plays a decisive role. With our new approach, we were able to significantly increase ticket size and frequency, and we have observed continuous progress week by week as we are learning how to adjust the model to the Russian market and enhance our execution. Now, a key priority will be a reactivation of customers. Second component of our action plan is acceleration of existing initiatives like delivery and trader franchise, Fazol. As you can see from the graphs, both the number of new Fazol contracts and open stores has tripled in the last quarter compared to earlier this year. We've also seen an increase in share of wallet, although this clearly remains an area for further improvement. The momentum for this format is growing, and we are committed to achieve 3,000 Fazol stores by 2020. This will further strengthen our relevance for independent grocers. Speaking about stores and operational excellence, as of May, we have opened a multifunctional center of excellence in Samara, Russia. In principle, it's a shared service center. We've already moved the first work stream from the stores to the center, and we're planning to do the same with sales support center and other transactional HQ functions. With the center of excellence, we are able to pool all relevant departments across 92 stores into one place, therefore allowing for process standardization and labor cost arbitrage, therefore most important, significant cost savings. To ensure excellent execution, we have significantly strengthened the management team. The new CCCO and COO have joined in July. This is another important step to ensure further progress in the coming quarters. Now, we are fully equipped on the capabilities and expertise side, and I'm certain that we will excel even further in the areas where Martin and Patrice are especially strong at, like assortment category roles and store execution. Nonetheless, it's fair to observe that we enjoyed a bit of tailwind through an extraordinarily successful Metro Expo and a bit of a FIFA World Cup. Therefore, we also had a good support on sales, but also, as Christian mentioned, a one-time game on EBITDA. Therefore, it's worthwhile to mention that the underlying performance in sales is roughly 1% lower on like-for-like and 150 basis points below on EBITDA. Therefore, by no means are we concluding that we have completed the transformation, but what we can clearly see is a significant impact of our initiatives. This strengthens our conviction that we are entering a much better phase for operations in Russia. Our management attention will remain very high. Now let's move on to Metro Germany. Almost every quarter we talk about how like-for-like sales for us represent traction with core customer groups like HoReCa and traders, which in turn is a result of long-standing relationships between customer-facing employees and the customers themselves. Hence, for us, it is important to have a highly engaged workforce to further foster long-standing relationships with our customers. Over the last year, the employee engagement index of Metro Germany has increased by 11 points. It is the highest increase of all Metro countries this year, and particularly important as a pre-indicator for future performance, as engaged workforce matters a lot for HoReCa customers who expect superior service. Last quarter, we have also further intensified our focus on gastronomy through a renewed own brand focus as well as continued remodelings like the ones we discussed at Q2. We have shared that Metro Germany has been defining a concept for the future. An important component of this is customer journey and in-store excellence. The big remodeling, which stands for Best in Gastronomy, has been rolled out already in 6 stores, and now the latest remodeling in the headquarter store in Düsseldorf. Rethinking the customer journey through the store, we have opened up the previously gold silver entrance to all HoReCa hospitality customers. The entrance is located in the fresh area, hence HoReCa customers can choose to walk only through the most relevant departments of the store. We have also created the Big Worlds, which bring together key articles for selected food categories, including a much higher number of convenience products. For fruits and veg, we have created a Big World in order to be more energy efficient, as only some of the categories in that department require special temperature zone. We've also increased our mise en place assortment, including pre-cut vegetables and service offerings around meat cutting and preparation. This year, we have remodeled already 6 stores, and with every store opening, we try to adopt and hear feedback from customers. For now, we will continue this way with the next remodeling of a store in Frankfurt. Before we move on to Real, let me also give a brief update on some of the operational KPIs for the wholesale business to further underline the strong development in the majority of the regions. Customer centricity is fundamental for our business. It is embedded across all the levels of our organization, starting from customer-facing employees on the floor, finishing with country and headquarter heads. In the last year, we have increased our employee engagement score to 78, which is 2 points improvement from last year. I'm also very pleased that meanwhile NPS, the Net Promoter Score, is rolled out and fully operational in 24 out of 25 countries. All countries have positive NPS score, which means that we have more promoters customers than detractors in our countries. With our highly engaged workforce, we are able to reach out to our customers and get more than 240,000 responses per month. Based on these responses and conversations, we have already made some big and small changes across countries. On top of the pure measurement and day-to-day input for improvements, we now have enough data points to engage more into statistical analysis. In the next step, we hence want to better understand what is common in the behavior of more loyal and happy customer. What do they do experience differently, and what makes a difference for them in their day-to-day job? In Q3, we also once again generated strong HoReCa like-for-like sales growth of 3.3%. Trader sales increased by 3.7% on a like-for-like basis, including the development in Russia, and grew at 6.1% excluding Russia. Food like-for-like sales all across the portfolio are up 1.4%. While not in focus this quarter, let me briefly comment on our efforts to digitize our customer base. In December, we set a target of digitizing 500,000 customers by 2020 and 50,000 by the end of 2018. As of today, we already have more than 90,000 customers from across all Europe and hence almost overwhelmed by the transaction. We are currently developing and building the next steps in this exciting journey, and we'll share more details after the summer break. Now let me continue with Real. Real is set for value creation. This might sound a bit counterintuitive after a slower quarter, but let me emphasize that the earnings decline is almost completely caused by the termination of the interim tariff with the Union Verdi. It had to be ended, as there was no chance to get to competitive labor costs with them. In June, we finished the implementation of a new legal structure by carving out all operations and including them into a new legal entity, which has entitled us to apply the new tariff. So, it is true that the termination of the interim tariff was costly, but in return, we gained the freedom for cost competitiveness. This is a key success factor for Real's future. We've already hired more than 1,250 employees at about 20% lower cost than before. This shows that it doesn't just work on paper, but Real actually continues to be a highly attractive employer. The necessity of competitive labor cost is even amplified more through our new commercial model of Food Lover, which was piloted in Krefeld. This approach amplifies Real's uniqueness in assortment quality and bandwidth, by illustrating our offer in a much more appealing way and by providing excellent services in our stores. Therefore, we actually need more people on the ground. Furthermore, we operate a food court which allows us to inspire customers for our products and at the same time enjoy quite attractive margins. In Krefeld, that success continues as we have gained a significant number of new buying customers and more than 10% of our revenue is already generated by the food court. We will open a second store later this year in Braunschweig and Bielefeld will follow next year. We also took the learnings from Krefeld Markthalle and started to roll out parts of it across the store portfolio. This comes at much smaller capex, but is capable to support our food sales. Another pivotal factor of Real's commercial future is the online business. We currently have more than 12 million SKUs. The growth rate remains very strong, leading to an online sales ratio of 2% by now. We've also rolled out the online grocery delivery into already 15 cities, which is 5 more than in the previous quarter. All in all, Real has established the foundation for future success. While the business transformation in stores and online continue to progress, the implementation of the new tariff clearly marks a breakthrough. Before we close off the presentation, let me spend a bit of time on this year's real estate transactions. As you all know, we expect to generate roughly 175 million euro of gains this year, out of which, after 9 months, you only see 8 million euro in the published results. We therefore wanted to shed some light on the status quo of our pipeline for the current year to pass on some of our confidence regarding deliverability of these 175 million euro in gains to you. Already in the last few weeks, we have completed the number of transactions adding up to 110 million. All in all, we have several deals in the pipeline that are mostly in final negotiation stage. So, to sum it up, we hereby confirm our guidance for 17-18 of sales growth at constant currency at the level of at least 0.5%, like-for-like growth above 0.5%, and EBITDA, excluding gains from real estate transactions, at constant currency slightly above previous year. With regards to foreign exchange impacts, we currently roughly 50 million negative on EBITDA level for the current year. Nonetheless, we continue to expect roughly 15% EPS growth. Last but not least, please take note of our upcoming events, roadshows, reporting dates, and conference presences. Investor relations will be in London, Paris, and Frankfurt. If you want to meet, give a ring to the team.
So much from our side. Now let's start our Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on a touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Andrew Porteous of HSBC.
Hi, team. A couple, if I could. First of all, on Western Europe, it seems obviously sales trends reflect sort of quite tough competition. Margin trends seem to be a bit better. Could you perhaps, is all the better margin and profit down to France? And are you seeing sort of quite different trends between some of your markets in Western Europe? And then the second one really was on Russia, and would it be fair or would it be logical to assume that as you've rolled out Buy More, Pay Less, actually the volume growth is built through the quarter so that the numbers you quoted perhaps were, the exit rates were a little higher than those in terms of volume growth and sales growth?
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. With respect to Western Europe, I think the development is very much driven, yes, by France, what you stated, where we have done and continued significant assortment re-engineering, but also Spain is positively contributing there, especially from the cost consciousness that is being developed there.
Yeah, and on Russia, it's absolutely fair. As we shared with you, we piloted the Buy More, Pay Less late last year, beginning of this calendar year. We then pushed the button mid of April and rolled out to the full country. We are still in the ramp-up mode, and we're still in the learning mode. So therefore, we are encouraged by the impact which has been achieved in this case much faster than in previous cases like Romania. And, but it will need adjustments here and there. That's why also with the presence of the new team, we are confident we can build on a very encouraging progress in Q3 into the next quarters.
Thanks a lot. That's helpful.
The next question comes from the line of Sridhar Mahamkali of Macquarie Group.
Yes, hi. Good morning. A couple of questions. Just actually follow up on Andrew's question there. Do you now feel confident that the Russian margins have bottomed out and we kind of won't necessarily see a contraction going forward from this point? If you can explain that, your thoughts there, that'll be helpful. Secondly, just coming back to Western Europe, you haven't really commented on Benelux much. I know they're not the biggest markets, but there's substantial restructuring was done about a year and a half ago. I'd be keen to know where you're going with those couple of markets, please. And the last one, just a modeling related one, other segment. How should we think about this on a run rate basis in terms of modeling, and the impact of this logistics center is just a one-off for this quarter, or should we be expecting something more beyond this? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. On Russia, Christian highlighted that the reported EBITDA, which adjusted for currency, actually is on previous year level, also margin-wise, is supported by a one-time gain which we have. So I think it's fair to deduct that to get a fair view. I also mentioned that we have a bit of a tailwind through this extraordinary successful Metro Expo and a much softer support, but a bit of a support through the FIFA World Cup. So therefore, I would say I would not guide people to say there is not going to be more investment here and there on the margin. I think the opposite is the case. I think we will go on with this in a prudent manner, like we've done in Q3. But the most important priority we have is build more relevance, build higher traction, sell higher volumes like we did in Q3, and it might require one or the other gross margin investment in the context of buy more, pay less. But as you have also observed, I think in this quarter, the team is totally dedicated to take advantage of cost opportunities, which are moving on as well. So the shared service center is only one example out of that. So You hear that my guidance would be, let's not just build on the reported figures, let's be a bit more prudent, but also let's not expect that it's going to be a significant setback.
Can I just quickly follow up? If you wouldn't mind, please remind us in terms of the BMPL kind of targeted level of wholesale. So you said you're now up to about half of the wholesale sales in BMPL. What do you target in terms of what penetration of the NPL strategy for the wholesale, please?
Yeah, and that's in refinement now with the new team on the ground. I think we were very fast, very aggressive in rolling this out. I therefore would not guide for a new number. I think the achievement to be 50% of total wholesale sales is remarkable. Should it go higher? I would not guide yet for that, because at the end of the day, it's about the KVIs, right? The key value items that we need to make sure that are really well positioned. And that can actually be a lower number of SKUs as well. So for the moment, probably would not change the outlook here.
And in any other markets where you've implemented the strategy, what level of penetration you've reached with maturity with BMPL strategy?
In Romania, yeah. We shared that example with you. We got a significant penetration of the buy more, pay less articles. The number of SKUs, however, has been quite a bit smaller. That's why I'm saying we are now reviewing this to make sure that we are taking the most sensible approach.
And with respect to your question on the other segment, as stated, yes, there has been a roughly 20 million one-off effect, which is a combination of that ramp-up on the logistics side as well as the separation from a management board member. On the other hand, there is certainly some volatility in that segment, given that there are also topics around digitalization ramp-up and other topics. So from a modeling perspective, important to note one-off in Q3, but not then fully trajectory-wise into Q4.
And then on Benelux, your question is absolutely fair. I think we also have been fairly straightforward in our assessment that our operations, both in the Netherlands and Belgium, are not meeting our expectations. Now, let me start with the most positive. Metro Belgium remains on a very attractive and encouraging track. As you know, we have two brands in Belgium. One is Metro, which is purely focused on HoReCa, and we run much smaller stores, more or less an eco kind of format. So there are good reasons to believe there is significant further potential. On the macro side, we shared with you that we had to stop a program which was damaging us. Meanwhile, I think we are stopping the bleeding, so to say, by correcting some of the major mistakes made, and this happens through one of our most experienced operating partners, who is on the ground there every week. But still, the review of our future in macro Belgium is something which we have on the agenda right now on the management board level. Nothing to report about today, but certainly nothing that we will postpone for long term. This is on high priority of our list of things to be looked at. Netherlands, similar, but with probably a bit more encouraging progress in the recent trading month. So therefore, we are not as high on the priority of the things to be done. But it's clear these two countries on the macro banner are under review.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Cédric Lecasble of Raymond James.
Yes, good morning, team. I have two questions on Russia as a follow-up. On your plan, BMPL, can you tell us what volume growth is needed to stabilize the situation, to stabilize top line and margin in Russia? That would be interesting. And the second question is on your frequency numbers. If you could give us maybe the evolution of the frequency in your stores in Russia, that could be very helpful also. Excuse me, I have a last one on Russia. Could you tell us about your scale benefits on Fusal? You mentioned the target, midterm target. Could you tell us maybe what is the sweet spot in terms of profitability for Fusal, in terms of number of stores and contracts? And the last one is on the real estate transaction, which was announced in Spain a few days ago. Can you help us understand the EBITDA and EBIT impact of this transaction? And you confirmed the 175. Where will this transaction occur in the coming weeks? Thank you.
So on the total volume growth for the quarter, which I referred to at the beginning of my speech, it is a quarter where we have seen total volume growth that hasn't happened in Russia for quite a while. The buy more, pay less is permanently now reviewed in the sense on how much margin investment do we need to put in, and how are sensitivities working. So what's the elasticity of a certain product in a certain category? We outlined that right now we have achieved an upswing of volumes which is above 5%. That clearly shows that the economics of this are working. But as I said, it's early days, so give us the time now to adjust and refine, and certainly then when we are reporting the fiscal year results, we can be more precise with that. I don't want to confuse the market now by setting numbers which are still in the making. We are faster than we thought, that's clear. We are much more confident than we were 3 months ago, but it's still early days. That's the point.
Just about on frequency, yes, please.
On frequency, it is quite remarkable. The existing buying customers, which we have, specifically now in the trader segment, we have seen a positive trend on frequency throughout the month in the quarter. So the actively buying customers actually come in more often than before, and the volumes they pick up are nice. The tickets are higher. They are growing very nicely. What we have not yet achieved and what we are working on with very high priority is to reactivate some of the customers we lost in previous quarters who have been confused by our pricing policy. And that is one of the key priorities that Martin Schumacher, the new Chief Customer Commercial Officer, has on his list of things to be done. So here we expect that in the foreseeable future, we should be able to actually improve our performance. On the Fazol, the approach we are taking here has been very prudent. As you noticed, we were fairly slow in signing up new contracts last year, and we are now ramping up as we see that here the economics are already attractive. So meaning that the aim to add more people that carry the Fazol banner combined with a share of wallet, which we have not defined very aggressive, we define it north of 20%, is something that works on economics. But of course, as well here, it will be our task to review what should be our ambition on the share of wallet once we have established the banner in Russia as a landmark brand.
And with respect to your question on real estate, you asked specifically on what we have announced on the real estate transaction in Spain. As we have publicly shown, there is an 86 million euro purchase price involved, and then there are some indicative numbers on the presentation that we have shown. It involves the one or the other transaction there with respect to Spain, so no disclosure of the EBITDA, but it is very much driven, and that's the important thing, on developments that we have done in the last couple of years in Spain. After the development, we have then done now a sale and leaseback, which is in line with our strategy. With respect to the next transactions to occur, we will see various projects both in Asia as well as in Europe with a strong development angle on it, so also in line with our long-term strategy.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Maxime Mallet of Deutsche Bank.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be with regard to the ticket size that you mentioned increased post the implementation of Buy More, Pay Less strategy. Could you maybe give us a bit more color about what kind of increase we're talking about and what you've seen with regard to the stores where you implemented this already a few months back? Also, I think you mentioned in the past few quarters that the traders part of your business in Russia has been particularly weak in the past quarters. Could you also help us maybe quantify a bit how this have evolved and what were the group of clients which were particularly improving in Q3 versus the previous quarters? That would be my second question. And the third one was with regard to the like-for-like, you mentioned a few elements that were a boost for Q3. World Cup should be also a boost in Q4. And you have this new implementation of the Buy More Pay Less that will gradually ramp up. So do you expect like-for-like could be stable to this level or even improving in Q4 versus Q3. And my last question was with regard, yes, I wanted to clarify. You mentioned the 20 million euro one-off impact on the other line in Q3. Just to be sure I understood correctly, in Q4 you would expect this other line to be 20 million euro better. Thank you.
So on the ticket size, we are not yet pretty ready to share the number, but it has been a quite significant increase, certainly way higher than what you've seen then on the indication we've given on the like-for-like sales. Why is that? We are yet not able to add number of buying customers, as I mentioned before. So there we even had still a lower number of buying customers. The group that has smallest impact, but has shown a quite nice development, but it's important to mention as the smallest impact is HoReCa. And here in the quarter, both because of our stronger presence in delivery, but also a bit of support through the World Cup has helped us. To remind everybody, the World Cup is, of course, something which is favorable for hospitality, but it's not a boost. It has never been, because it's mostly on beverages and snacking. Actually, when we see larger sports events in other parts of our HoReCa portfolio, we even see a slowdown of dining out because people spend more time on public viewing places and you have more beverage and snacking instead of, let's say, general food being sold. So there is a bit of impact there. We are clearly confirming that, but it has been small, and therefore also I would say impact for Q4 should not be overestimated. And then, as I mentioned before, the reported like-for-like is supported by those effects. And as I mentioned earlier, I think it's fair to say underlying probably is not in the territory of 3.2, but rather minus 4.2, minus 4.4, something like this would be fair. Still, that's a significant progress against previous quarters. But, yeah, just to set expectations in the right direction, I would re-emphasize that.
And with respect to your question on Q4, just as stated before, yes, there is a 20 million one-off in Q3 that should not be expected in Q4. However, you need to also look at the segment others being composed of various cross-divisional companies and entities that have certain underlying developments. So one-off, yes, predictable, or we don't give a prediction specifically on the other segment in Q4.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Fabienne Caron of Kepler Chevreux.
Yes, good morning. I've got three questions on Russia. The first one, Olaf, you had a kind of soft target of having minus 150 basis point EBITDA decline in Russia for the full year. Even if I exclude the one of positive impact, it looks quite easy to achieve. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. The second point, as you said, your underlying like-for-like in Russia improved with minus 4.4%. Could you give us the like-for-like to compare Trader Oreca and SEO? And finally, do you expect any negative impact from the potential closure of the MediaMark shop-in-shop in Cash & Carry in Russia? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, in regard of the expectation for profitability in Russia, we will remain on our current guidance because, as I mentioned earlier, we are still in the process of refining our Buy More, Pay Less and our B2B transformation. So therefore, yes, we have had an encouraging Q3 and we'll do whatever we can to continue the trend, but our guidance in that sense is not changing. We are not reporting the different like-for-likes per target groups and we have not done before, we'll not done it here. We'll give indication on how the impact of the transformation works with KPIs like the Buy More, Pay Less KPIs, which we have revealed. On the MediaMarkt impact, I dare to say that the role of consumer electronics for the target group we are serving is less and less relevant. My point of view is still we need to take a very opportunistic tactical approach on the category, because it's still a frequency driver for promo. Therefore, the team is already working intensively in getting ready to accommodate for that. But it doesn't mean that we will turn back to old times where we were running a fully-fledged consumer electronics department. That's certainly not what we will do. We rather will go for a much lower number of SKUs and much more in and out, and therefore much more driven by occasional offers for our customers.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Bruno Montagne of Bernstein.
Hi, good morning. My first question is back to the pricing, your pricing strategy in Russia. Is the objective to stabilize the margin, or do you have the objective to rebuild the margin in the following quarters?
Well, as I mentioned in our call after half year, we are ready to invest into attractiveness. That's what we have outlined in May, and that remains our position. However, we also are completely cognizant of the fact that we are incurring costs in Russia, which are not in line with a wholesale format like the one we are running. And that's why we are also very much intrigued and encouraged by the effort conducted by the team there and here, the CFO in Russia, who is pushing forward this initiative. So to cut it short, we continue to be ready to invest in margin, in front margin, and therefore in price attractiveness. And that does not exclude that we might have a lower margin in one of the upcoming quarters. Our internal ambition, you can rest assured, remains the same, that we need to finance it with countermeasures on the cost side. But it's clear the main priority is build a crystal clear B2B profile, make it easy to understand, make it consistent across all our locations which we have, and therefore enjoy more frequency and bigger baskets of existing customers. But most importantly, and that's a priority for the upcoming month, is reattract those customers which we have lost in previous quarters.
Okay, so I'd probably summarize, if I understand it correctly, that you're sort of aiming to focus on sustainable volume growth rather than the percentage margin on it, if I understand it correctly. My second question is on Real. Having listened and sort of followed the presentations on Real for several years, there are always loads of great initiatives on Real that on paper seem very good initiatives and possibly turning the corner. But I'm still struggling to sort of see any financial measure over that time period that has improved. Is there any data that you guys can see inside that you can talk about that gives you confidence that this is really a format that has a future above and beyond the many projects that you're doing?
Yeah, it's fair to say that, especially after such a quarter with very weak numbers. I think if you look into the numbers for the first 6 months, the picture is already different. But the most important observation is that wherever we apply the new formula, the food lover formula, all indicators are going into the right direction. So we enjoy more buying customers. We have better baskets. We have a lower promo share. And all of this is clearly revealing that Germany food retail is ready for something like a food lover concept, which has, of course, a lot of the ingredients we have taken from the Anglo-Saxon food lover markets, including food court. And the food court, just to mention that, remains one of the sensational successes in Krefeld. So our aim was to replicate that success in a new location, which will happen later this year, but also to find out, can we take modules that will not cost us $1 million, but will cost us a few hundred K into stores and see a corresponding uplift in sales? And here the first indicators are also going in the right direction, that we can improve the food sales performance by these measures. The problem that we have encountered is all of these things require more people on the shop floor. So in Krefeld, we have significant number of people now in food service, which we could not make work economically due to our unfavorable tariff. So we have been guiding you to the fact that, yes, there is a quite vibrant new version of a hypermarket, which we call Food Lover, but no, economics are not working out because of labor costs being 30% higher than competition. Now, with this new tariff, this is not a hypothesis anymore. This is reality. We are enjoying more than 20% lower wage costs. That means that as we hire new people for these things, we can find not only the balance, but we can find a profitable growth path. And then to conclude, finally, we always were struggling in finding the corresponding answer. How do we deal with our declining relevance in non-food? And there, I think the clear direction we are embarking on is we use the marketplace as the growth booster for non-food articles, and will include much more links to the existing business in the stores, i.e. that stuff will be delivered for pickup in the corresponding real markets. We are already starting to test that with good response rate so that we can turn online traffic into physical traffic. And combining all of these things, it's the first time since a long time, honestly, that we now see all ingredients for future value creation coming into play. And not to forget, we have 80 locations of real estate in ownership. So a remodeling of a location, like in the Food Lover context, is not only creating value for OpCo, but it will also significantly create value for the PropCo side. So therefore, yeah, I do believe this quarter is a breakthrough quarter because it has been resolving one of the big dilemmas which we had been in. And let's not forget, Real has a labor pay cost, payroll cost of 1 billion euro.
My final question is around the remark that Christian made at the end when he talked about the full year guidance that would be achieved, and he referred to that there will be the benefit of last year's special sort of one-off impact. Therefore, the last quarter should be better than year. Can you remind me, Christian, what were those previous years' negative impacts that won't be repeated in quarter four this time, please?
In previous Q4 of last year, there was 93 million of special items that were mostly related to the demerger.
Okay, and therefore that will be the part of the improvement in the this year. Oh, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Kiranjot Grewal of Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hey, morning. I had a couple of questions. Firstly, have you streamlined any staff in your Russian stores as a result of your new strategy? And then you've also mentioned that you're still in ramp-up mode, re-Russia. Is that, what was that related to? Do you need to roll out this model across more of your range? And also, could you give us a split on your customer mix now in Russia versus SEOs and the traders? Thank you.
Yeah. So on this streamlining the operations, it's absolutely correct, your observation. We have been continuously working in improving efficiency, and we know that compared to our international operations, there's more to go. That is the reason why we have established this shared service center in Samara, and we're now taking one process after the other into the shared service center for both. Much lower labor costs, which we can enjoy in Samara, but also effectiveness and efficiency improvement, quality improvement of the process. And this will continue. So that's part of the new value creation plan the team has worked out. The other one on the ramp up, we are reviewing, as I said, the number of assortment which we are offering on Buy More, Pay Less. But what's more important, actually, is the three-tier pricing. What is the best distance between tier one to tier two to tier three, and what are the best ranges? Another one, of course, is how do we make our customers aware of these unique offers with massification, more product on pallet? How are we displaying the product? Well, much more in large pack and not broken packs. So I just give you anecdotal evidence that there's a lot we need to learn also in store operations. But the good thing is it already is working quite nicely. That means if we take all these additional opportunities into account, we should do better and better and better. And then on the split of sales, we are doing roughly one-third of our turnover in Russia with the independent grocer, or we call them traders, so roughly one-third. And 17% is our current position in hospitality and HoReCa. Our ambition is to move the added number, which right now is roughly 50%, to 60% in the not-too-distant future. So our B2B profile should be sharpened more and more.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Dusan Milosavljevic of Berenberg.
Good morning. I just had a question, just making sure that I understood correctly. On the impact that Seconomy discontinuation had, so the one-off impact of 10 million, that gets you to the margin of around 9%. which is 150 bips down year on year. Is that what you were flagging, Olaf, when you were commenting? You were saying that one-off impacts should be backed out. So you on like for likes, it's -1% due to the World Cup and due to the Metro Expo. And then you said -150 bips on EBITDA. Was that in addition, or was that the total impact due to this effect? That's the first question.
That was the total impact.
The total impact. Okay. And I guess the other question is just on the working capital improvements this quarter. Obviously, it's been something that you have been talking about for a long time, and generally working capital for a business of your profile should be positive. How should we be thinking about working capital kind of going forward? Are you guiding for it to continue being finally switching into being a positive contributor to cash generation?
Yes, absolutely. So in Q3, as mentioned, there was were two key impacts that were improving net working capital development. One was Russia, the other one was real inventory levels. And with respect to the net working capital on the balance sheet already now, we have a negative working capital, which is good. And with respect to us expecting to grow in the medium-term development, we do see then also a contribution happening over time in working capital. When you look at historical numbers, we have not seen that contribution, but that is certainly our aim, and the direction that we have embarked on is the right one.
Okay, thank you. And just the final question I had was on Real. Are you able to say what the contribution was, what the growth like-for-like growth was in for Food Lover stores? Unless I missed it, maybe you've put it somewhere in the presentation. But just the performance for the stores that you have remodeled, and maybe just a comment on, you know, we were talking about this maybe a year ago, and you were saying you're seeing encouraging results, but you've been relatively kind of slow in rolling this out more aggressively. You're guiding for that to change going forward, I assume.
Well, it's fair to say that we have been prudent in rolling it out, as we did not see how we could accommodate more labor costs. This Food Lover concept requires more personnel, more staff in the departments and in the food court, and the numbers simply didn't add up in the old tariff regime. So we had to make this change, which sounds like a minor thing, but it has been a huge effort to step out of this old Flächentarif and Manteltarif, which, by the way, is also defining working hours per week. It's defining premiums for night shifts. It's defining premiums for weekend shifts. So this has been a huge challenge, which now has been mastered. Just to remind you on numbers we published in the past, in a Food Lover store, we are able roughly to add 30% of visits, so 30% of more people joining in, buying customers. We are able to achieve more than 10% of the turnover on the food court, where we enjoy high double-digit contribution margins. So that gives you an indication that, always under the assumption that we have competitive labor costs, this is a model that can work out nicely. We have not yet revealed the numbers of the modules which we are rolling out, and the stores are still in test mode. That's something for full year of financial results where we will share that. But numbers are already encouraging at a much lower capex. That's why it's clear. We see that the ingredients for sustainable value creation at Real are now finally coming together after what I would describe a quite demanding period of 3 years of reposition.
Thank you very much. All very clear.
Next question comes from the line of James Grzinic of Jefferies.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I just have a very quick one. If I look at the EBITDA margin inflection in Russia in Q3 versus Q2, I presume there would have been a number of conflicting dynamics behind it. So I was really looking at getting a little bit more of an understanding of that. So if you could explain how the mix impact of changing sales would have helped, or otherwise, that margin behavior underlying. What has happened to supply contributions? How much incrementally you had to invest as you fully rolled out the new policy in Q3? And I guess also you mentioned that you've had some success in addressing the cost base, but there's about 220 basis points of reduced pressures in Q3 relative to Q2. So if you could perhaps qualify how these various dynamics helped or didn't.
Okay. Well, I think the thing that helped us most, of course, was that the volume uptick on the Buy More, Pay Less has been very significant. We hoped for that, but hope is never a good way to give any kind of guidance. So our expectation was lower at the beginning, and certainly the volume uplift has been a main reason to increase total contribution margin while the percentage came down. Supplier support is here and there already starting to kick in as suppliers see the benefit of the collaboration with Metro being a very efficient channel. But the most important driver for this has been the fact that the CFO in Russia together with the CEO, very much encouraged by the operating partner, have worked on cost already at the beginning of this year, and we saw quite a bit of impact already kicking in Q3, because as I said before, that must be our ambition. We need to earn the investment that we put into the front margin, and that's how the whole thing played out.
Thank you, Olaf. So just to clarify, you mean that volume uptake getting you better support from suppliers, I guess, that being the number one dynamic?
Well, in a country like Russia, where promo has gone through the roof, I think new ways to address a market at mutual benefit for everybody is attractive, and I think Buy More, Pay Less is exactly that.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes our Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for having joined our conference call. Should you have any follow-up questions, please reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you and have a great day.